This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Is Nothing Sacred?
Hello and welcome to Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9. It's 3 minutes past 10 and welcome to a very exciting show tonight. I have in the studio me, Steph, James. Hello, James.
Hi. Hi, guys. Hi, Steph.
Hello. And Patrick. Hello, Patrick.
Hello.
And as always, we have a diverse show lined up for you. We're quite into diversity here at Is Nothing Sacred.
Why? So,
because
shocking.
Joy's all about inclusion, Pat. We love inclusion here at Joy 94.9.
Oh.
Loving, yes. Sharing, inclusion.
See,
you know?
No, but that isn't our tagline. Isn't our tagline, is nothing sacred, death, despair, sadness.
That's true. That is true.
Death, despair,
on Joy
sadness.
94.9. But we do have a very diverse show. Tonight we are speaking with Sam Hibbins, member for PRAN.
Woohoo! Woo!
And also speaking to Warlock Marquee HK. Is that how you say it?
I think so.
From the Church of Satan?
Yep.
Is that right?
The Church of Satan.
The Church of Satan.
We've left him till later in the night, clearly. Like, they're up all night, aren't they? Is that their darkness is their time?
James.
I don't know. Maybe I need me. We're having them on the show.
Exactly.
So that I am informed about these things.
Exactly.
We want to be informed about Satanism.
We do. We do.
And we will be. By 11 o'clock, you will all be very much in the know.
But now we've got Sam Hibbins in the studio, new MP.
Who's not a Satanist, can we confirm? Hi, Sam.
I will not confirm nor deny my links to the Church of Satan.
Oh, my God, already.
Typical politician.
Typical
Very
politician.
Good answer. But we should give a background. So he's a former Stonington councillor, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do both.
That's correct.
Okay, fantastic. And one, I suppose we have to say, is it a historic victory, would we say, to beat a sitting Liberal member?
I'd say historic. This is the first time that a Greens member has taken over a Liberal seat, I believe.
That's true.
And also it's the first time we've had three parties so neck and neck right to the final finish line. Is that also true?
It was very close.
I was up in Cairns and I was on glued to my phone. I was on holiday and I was reading a couple of pages of my book and then checking Twitter every 2 minutes to see what happened. And people kept reporting, between two
party different things.
Well, yeah. And people saying two party preferred. I'm like, which parties? I kept tweeting back, which parties?
Well, of course, the VEC was saying one thing, the ABC was saying another thing. I was getting text messages from scrutineers saying one thing, Twitter another. So, yeah, I was as much in the dark as you guys.
So what did that feel like? Because how many days was it from the election till the final outcome?
Maybe 9 or 10 or so.
Did you get much sleep?
No. Well, to tell you the truth, I was just pretty happy with the result from election night. It probably took until maybe the 7th or 8th day to, then it got a bit stressful. And then, of course, they had a recount as well. And there was a moment there when, right at the last bit of the recount, when we'd lost some votes and it was undecided about whether we'd leapfrog Labor. So that was probably the most nerve-wracking of 20 minutes,
I heard towards the end it was Clem was still in. And so that's what I was surprised about because, okay, I have to tell you the truth. It is on air, so it's not like because there was a time where I think I said that it looked like it was a clash between the Titans. You had big arms and big lips. Big lips as yourself, and because you had these beautiful campaign photos.
Wait,
that
does
just
that
showed
mean
off.
Neil Farrow was
name
big
all three.
Pecs?
Right.
No, he was big arms.
Oh, big arms.
Yeah. It was affectionate. Don't get me wrong.
What was the other nickname?
Well, it was big arms for Neil Farrow.
Yes.
Yeah.
He does fair enough.
I didn't have one for Clem. No, I didn't have one for Clem.
He's quite tall.
The way I used to talk about Clem was the way I look at him in the Liberal Party was he was the kid that was kind of, he always wanted to be cool but could never quite get there. Like as if he'd go in the parties and do all the things, but the reality was he just was like, oh, we can do things to the gays too. I'll vote against you. We can do things to the gays too. I'll vote against you. So
Paran's a pretty cool electorate though. Like if you had...
It's very diverse.
Yeah, someone, I don't know who would do it, maybe Facebook or SBS. Anyway, if you ranked electorates by coolness, probably inner Western Sydney would be up there and then Paran, maybe Brunswick would be a competitor.
There's probably a correlation between the coolness ratio and the Greens primary vote.
Yeah, I'd say so. We're pretty cool, so,
Not biased at all on this show. But, yeah, well, I suppose talking a bit more about the Paran electorate, it is diverse. There aren't many, I suppose, three-cornered contests. Sam, what is it about Paran that that is, makes you so passionate about the area?
Well, I think when you look at Paran, it's sort of that one of those inner city melting pots where you have got, you know, you've got Toorak, the mansions of Toorak. You've got the our folks down in South Yarra. Then you've got down the other end down in Paran and Windsor, which are traditionally progressive areas, and even further in St Kilda East. So it really does have a diverse makeup there.
I'm curious to know, obviously, because we're here at Joy 94.9, what, and I've always found that election to be very progressive, and certainly I remember going to Paran Library, and this was would have been the late 90s, and they had little rainbow stickers on all the LGBT-friendly books, which I thought was excellent. So what's planned for the future inclusion of the community in Paran?
Paran, well, I tell you what, I have proud to announce that I am the LGBTI spokesperson for the Greens. That was decided at the party room the other day. So I'm taking up the mantle there. It is a big responsibility because obviously, you know, the Greens have been leading the way on those sorts of issues. And so
there's no denying for that one, especially in the LGBTIQ community, that the Greens have been one of the more progressive voices, especially in correlation to LGBTI rights and equality rights.
Marriage equality, yeah.
Well, marriage... I find that a very loaded term when people say marriage equality. So, because, and I do know that is not in Green's policy for polyamory, but let's move on. I've forgotten where I was going with this. Something. La, 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 la.
So I guess the question was about, what's planned in the future in terms of now that you have this position in the Victorian Parliament as LGBT spokesperson, what are the things you're going to be fighting for first?
So the big ones really are the Equal Opportunity Act, which as you may know, there's exemptions in the Equal Opportunity Act for particular organisations to discriminate based on sexuality amongst some other reasons. Now, the Labor Party have said that they are going to, I guess, amend that to still allow some discrimination but not allow others. So I think...
And so the Greens will differentiate from the Labor's decision to...
Labor's plan will not allow you to discriminate against the gardener at a school, but will allow you to discriminate against the teacher if they're applying for jobs. So I'll be seeking through amendment to make sure that there's no blanket discrimination there. So they've said that. The same is with the adoption laws. They've said basically they're looking to amend adoption laws. So known adoption to it can occur, but not unknown adoption. So I'll be looking to amend those laws when that comes before Parliament to get rid of all discrimination.
That would be great if you could organise that for us.
I'll tell you what I need a bit of help, and that is naming the portfolio. So basically... On Labor's side of thing, he's the Minister for Equality. I think...
So the Minister for Fabulousness, I think, is my current win.
This is something for our listeners, I reckon.
Yeah, you should let us know. You can email us on air@joy.org.au, SMS 0427JOY949, or call Robert on the front desk, 1300JOY949. Let us know what the Minister should be called.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
Hello there, funny lady Judith Lucy, and of course you're listening to Joy 94.9. Well, you'd be just plain f***ed in the head if you listened to anything else.
That is right. You are on As Nothing Sacred here on Joy 94.9. It is 10:15. You are here with Patrick, Steph, James, and member for Pran, Sam Hibbins.
G'day.
G'day. Now, the soon to be minister of, you can name that portfolio, but it isn't binding. Let's point out. Look, just give him suggestions.
So, for anyone who just tuned in, Sam has. We're asking you, listening, wherever you are, in your car, at home, what should the name of the portfolio be that includes LGBTI rights?
I think the Minister for Glitter, the Minister for the Minister for Fabulous Shoes, the Minister of... it can go on and on. But in all seriousness,
Minister?
Like the Minister of the Rainbow Community or something like that, or I like to use my beautiful LGBT.
LGBT. Just rolls off the tongue,
doesn't
it?
Well, it's the LGBT. It really is. LGBT, because, you know, it's LGBTIQ, A, B, C, D, E. It just goes on and on and on, and then you're going to get that Prince symbol in there one day.
We really should move the I and the A earlier on, and then we've got a few vowels to mix things up a bit.
Some people think it's asexual. Some people think it's ally. I personally think it's for aliens.
We got a text in.
Sorry. Oh, yeah, we did get a text in. Look, we've got a fabulous text in. Thank you very much. You can also text in on 0427JOY949. This is from Dean. Hello, Dean. He says, "Hi, Sam. What impact do you expect the upper house to have considering its makeup, and how effectual do you expect to be?"
Well, thanks, Dean. Well, I'll tell you what, the upper house, we've got a very, very, just like this show, a very diverse upper house. We've got, you know, more Greens in there. We had three last term of Parliament, and we now have five. We've got the sex party in there. We've got some shooters and fishers. So it is going to be a very diverse makeup. And the reality is the government will not be able to pass legislation in the upper house unless it gets either the support of the Greens or support of the coalition. So we expect the government to negotiate with us to get their bills through. And through that mechanism, we'll be able to get some of our initiatives through.
I would assume that it's probably going to be an easier ride to jump with. And I'm saying this with love, but rather than going with the coalition, trying to negotiate with the coalition for this one, because it's kind of like putting oil and water together to get those two along, doesn't it? It's just funny watching whenever they do anything bipartisan and they're standing there and smiling and the smile says, "I want to kill you. I want to kill you."
There was some, Sam, I'm interested in your thoughts. I mean, obviously, the focus for you is going to be on the lower house and what you can do with your new colleague, Ellen Sandel. But going back to our great question from the listener, I suppose there is that interesting thing. You will have to work with a few more, I guess, members. Because I believe if Labor wants to pass something and they can count, you know, if they were able to negotiate with you to get your vote, you're still a couple of votes shy.
That's correct.
But I suppose, you know, we've had Fiona Patton's been around Joy and we tend to like her. So that's one more. And then you've got to deal with the unknowns, I guess.
That's right.
My question is a little bit, I'm not sure that you've met them, but there does seem to be like a new member for Western Victoria.
Yes.
I've had a look at some of his policies. Right. He likes renewable energy.
Oh, good. That's good.
And he likes a few other things. I'm not saying he's the greatest in the world, but is there opportunity, I guess, for the Greens and other parties to cooperate and work together to get good outcomes for not just our community, but for, you know, renewable energy in this instance?
Well, look, I think so. And that's really the way that things are going to get done in this parliament. I think there's probably an unfair perception out there of the Greens that we're, you know, blockers or that we won't negotiate or something, but that's completely wrong. And we've seen what Adam Bandt and the team in federal parliament have been able to achieve when they had the balance of power. I've been on Stonington Council, a council that had Labor, Liberal, Independent members, and we worked well together to get things done. So I think it's by force of necessity, we'll have to work together.
That's a good point. Steph?
So one thing we were talking about before and has been raised previously is the, I guess, the campaign that was run in the lead up to the election and, you know, this commentary around advertising on Grindr, and you mentioned that there was an event held at the Exchange. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about, you know, it seems like you're deliberately targeting the LGBT community, trying to be inclusive. Can you tell us a bit more about the strategy behind that and how that came about?
Well, yeah, the Grindr ad, basically it came up at one of our, you know, campaign meetings. Okay, here we go. We can advertise on Grindr and we can geo-locate or geo-tag it. So basically it would go to only people in the Paran electorate. And it was relatively cost effective, so we jumped at it and we thought it was a great opportunity there. And then I remember a journalist from The Age was doing a story on the, if I can use the inverted commas, the pink vote. And
we like those inverted commas on the show.
Well, the pink vote was a huge piece in the media about this, wasn't
it?
Pran was all about the pink vote.
So I just happened to mention, you know, offhand that we're advertising on Grindr, and you know, she went away and rewrote the whole story to focus completely on that, and that, and a lot of people responded very well.
I would have thought, why did she need to do that? She just needs to go and find her friend Brad, who lives in South Yarra, and just say, "Brad, listen, have you been hooking up lately?" And he would have said, "Yes." And then,
I actually know Brad who lives in South Yarra.
So do I.
I wonder if they're the same, Brad. It is exciting.
His tongue's wonderful. It's
it is exciting, though, I guess, to sort of be noticed, I suppose, because a lot of the time you look at advertising in the papers and on TV and billboards and, you know, you just don't see things that represent us. So I guess that is exciting. We also have another message from a listener from Damien in South Yarra. Hi, Damien.
Hey, he says, Damien in South Yarra.
Hey, maybe friends with
Brad. Do you have a tongue too?
Patrick single. Anyway, Damien says, good work, Sam. Very proud to have a green representing me in Paran.
Oh, fantastic. Thanks, Damien.
It's an appropriate way to finish the show.
I think it is, certainly. Thank you very much, Sam, for joining us on Is Nothing Sacred. And we look forward to seeing how it's going with Pran in the future. Looking forward to have you back on the show one time.
Terrific. Thanks so much for having me.
If you can deal with me calling you Big Lips at all that one point.
But yes, we'll have to get you back and you'll have to report back to us.
Will do.
All right, great.
Thank you very much. You are on Is Nothing Sacred here on Joy 94.9.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You are on Is Nothing Sacred here on Joy 94.9. Oh, isn't it good to be here, Steph? It's lovely to see you. We are here on Joy 94.9. I'm here with Steph. I'm here with Jane.
Me too.
Yeah, well, you know, we were going to talk about you very shortly. We were definitely going to talk about you. Steph's jumping around all over the place. Hey, Steph.
Hey.
Hey, goodness, what happened? Why are you running around? Well, you're running around. I know what
happened.
It is.
She's so calm.
I know what it is. There's a puggle.
What's a puggle?
A puggle is a baby echidna.
If you haven't seen a puggle, you should Google puggle echidna.
Apparently, and I'm wanting to do a show with this in future, so we won't talk about it now, but I want to do a show. Apparently, according to the Sydney Morning Herald, so no one can trust that, but anyway, that there is someone's trying to push through something to allow adoption of native animals.
That's exciting.
That is pretty exciting. But I don't know if it'd be good or bad.
If you're someone who knows about that, you should let us know. Email us on air at joy.org.au.
And also continual emailing in any ideas that you have for the portfolio of Sam Hibbins as the new LGBTIQ spokesperson for the Greens Party. Mm-hmm. So if you've got any ideas for that, I'm sure we can pass that on to him as well. Now, we've got a very exciting and special guest. We have on the board here, we've called him Warlock Marquis HK. How's it going today?
Good. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you.
Solstice tidings.
Sorry?
Solstice tidings.
Solstice tidings. Can you explain a little bit what that means?
Well, indeed, it is in the Southern Hemisphere here. It is the summer solstice.
Today?
And it does belong to our kind for time immemorial, long before Christmas.
Oh, definitely.
Another holiday hijacked by Christianity.
Oh, you know, it's really funny. We actually, for Is Nothing Sacred's Christmas message, we do speak a little bit about the holiday hijacking. So I think we use actually that term. So very serendipitous here. Thank you for joining us on the show. Now, first thing I'd like to ask, you are a member of the Church of Satan, is that correct?
Yes, I'm a warlock in the...
You're a warlock. Right, then.
How do you become a warlock?
Well, basically, there's no written test or anything like that. Basically, the church just monitors how you live your life in the real world, according to the philosophy, and, that's just how it works.
Cool. What are some of those philosophies?
Well, basically, Satanism is a philosophy is based on the celebration of life and earthly pursuits. We don't see Satan as a living entity. It's like purely symbolic. The Church of Satan was started by Anton LaVey in 1966 in San Francisco, who then went on to write the Satanic Bible, which is the blueprint for the philosophy, really. In the sense that you are your own god and you're in control of your own destiny and you don't need to bow down or worship any man-made gods.
Would I be the only one that is surprised by that? I didn't realise that that's what it would be like. I thought it was going to be like really dark magic kind of stuff, but it's not.
Oh, yeah, sure. There's magic involved, but it's not at all what's been represented in the media in years gone by. It's not devil worship, put it that way. Basically, we just use the image of the Dark Lord as a symbol of freedom, liberty, and, pride.
So the idea, obviously, so I think you've already answered my question just now when we were talking about how using the symbol of Satan. Was the reasoning, do you think, that, what was his name again, Levant? Was that correct?
Anton LaVey.
Yeah, Anton LaVey, sorry. Who founded the Church of Satan, using the symbol, which has quite a lot of negative connotations for a very for a society that is, of course, very influenced by Christian iconography and Christianity, was that, yeah, as I suppose, it's just the complete defiance of spirituality and looking towards an earthly existence.
Exactly right, yes. It's basically a carnal versus the spiritual.
Mm. It's carnal versus... I love those terminologies. It sounds like it's a beautiful hedonistic lifestyle. Sounds perfect. But I'm sure I'm wrong. Is that a misconception, do you think, when people then take on board that it's about earthly pursuits, say, oh, you're a hedonist?
No, it's not a misconception at all. I mean, it's because, you know, indeed, you know, the term heathen just means that you don't belong to any, you know, the
I wasn't talking about heathenism. I was talking about hedonism. So,
pursuit
of pleasure.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it is a hedonistic lifestyle. Absolutely.
Okay.
One thing I was curious about, you mentioned before about magic, and previously on the show we've spoken to someone who is pagan, and I was wondering, how does the magic in Satanism differ from in paganism?
Well, when you perform a ritual, it's basically a catharsis, like a release. What you're doing is you're projecting your thoughts so that they manifest, so that, you know, that they manifest themselves in the real world. And, when you do see it working, you know, that's, great. But that's the whole essence of it, basically projecting your thoughts so that your, you know, whatever the case may be, your goals manifest themselves into the real world.
So, I suppose what we're talking about when talking about a ritual, is it a ritual, I suppose, where you're going through the projection of your thoughts into the real world?
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Yep.
So these sort of rituals, are they typically quite long, or involve a lot of ceremony, or are they generally very private, or is it like a community base?
It depends. Like, I've done quite a few solitary rituals. Mm-hmm. A friend and I will be partaking in one tomorrow night for the solstice. It all depends. Some go longer than others. I've performed a rite called the Rite of Ragnarok, which was quite lengthy.
That sounds a little bit like watching Rite of the Valkyries I'm making a joke here, but with using Ragnarok there, I failed miserably.
It's very obscure, Pat.
When you have to tell them.
Well, Ragnarok was considered the end of the earth. Oh, forget it. Anyway.
So where did these rituals come from? Is it in the Bible, or is it something you develop? Because you sort of spoke about, I guess, individual pursuit. So is it something that you develop individually, or does everyone do the same kinds of rituals, and where do they come from?
Oh, it all depends. It all depends on the individuals. I mean, there are three kinds of ritual in the Satanic Bible, which you can follow as guidelines. But at the end of the day, however you choose to channel your energy is entirely up to you.
We shall be right back. We do have to jump to a song and some messages.
Please stay on the line,
Warlock, sure. Marquee HK. I want to find out more about that very shortly.
Also, if you have any questions for the Warlock, please email onair@joy.org.au, SMS 0427 Joy 949, or call Robert on the front desk, 1300 Joy 949.
And you are listening to Joy 94.9.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You are on Joy 94.9. We are here on Is Nothing Sacred. It is 20 minutes to 11, and we are speaking with Warlock Marquee HK, who is a Warlock of the Church of Satan. Hello.
Hello.
Good to keep chatting with you. Steph, you had a question, didn't you?
Yeah, I guess I was curious. I was having a good look at the Church of Satan website this morning, and one of the things it was describing as was an atheist philosophy, and I'm just curious about how Satanism differs from other forms of atheism and why you chose this form, I suppose. What appealed?
Okay, well, I guess it differs like your average atheist is because it's certainly more esoteric. And for one, Satanists are pretty much attracted to, you know, the darker things in life, you know, horror movies and, you know, all things, in the whole mystique of, you know, strange places and so forth. Yeah, certainly. And it was basically called, when the Labor started saying this, we basically did it as like a, almost like a provocation to, as a backlash against what was happening at the time.
Sounds like a big middle finger to to Catholics. It really does.
Yeah.
We'd support that.
Yeah, I support it.
Not even quietly.
Not even quietly.
Anyway, I also had a question a little bit about the church itself. Like, is there a structure? Is there a community in Melbourne? Is it, or is it like just like a few people?
No, well, you see, the Church of Satan is a worldwide organisation. You know, it's a worldwide cabal. There is no, well, like, subdivisions in any certain nations or whatever. But, yes, there are indeed a few CLS members in Melbourne, yeah.
And what kind of response do you get when you tell people that you're a Satanist? Or is it something that's more private that doesn't come up a lot?
Mainly out of mainly curiosity. Like, I don't really get anyone that gets overly freaked out by it. They just sort of say, okay, well, you know, what's that all about? What does that involve? It's, you know, I very rarely get anyone sort of like, you know, wanting to pull out the crucifix or whatever.
The power of Christ compels you,
Yeah, we've all seen that movie.
Oh, it's a great movie. It's great. You can watch, what's her name? The one who can't act. Winona Ryder, that's it. We can watch her try and do an English accent. I do love her though. Anyway.
You're so confusing, Patrick.
I am. I was very interested to find out, so, obviously, you know, when you tell people that you're a Satanist, I'm sure what the follow-up question is, one that I would like to know, is how did you get involved? How did you find out about Satanism and become a Satanist, basically?
Okay, well, I've always been attracted to the image of the Dark Lord before, like, I knew of, you know, the whole, knew the nature of the whole philosophy. I do remember seeing Anton LaVey on TV, and I was always curious to what he was about, what he had to say, and I picked up the Satanic Bible and I thought, well, great, this has been me all along.
Oh.
Because Satanists are born, not made. You can't sort of like decide one day, oh, I'm going to be a Satanist. When you read the Satanic Bible, most people's reactions is like, well, okay, well, this has been me all along anyway.
So
I've always stood out from the herd, or, you know, and, you know, that's what us Satanists do. We like to distance ourselves from what we call the herd.
I guess I'm curious, for people who are Satanists and have children, do the children tend to be Satanists as well?
No, all Satanists or parents, they'll leave that decision with their children.
Yeah.
They don't impact on them whatsoever.
If only all religions did that.
I think that's the biggest thing that I'm gathering, is because you're saying people are born, not made. So I'm supposing this is sort of a reaction to people trying to convert and preach and
evangelize.
Thank you. That was the word I was looking for. Would you say that's correct?
Yeah, exactly. Well, the COS doesn't solicit membership at all. It's there if you want it. And if you're not, well, you know, whatever it does it for you.
There you go. Some of our listeners might be unknown Satanists. They just need to read the Bible, the Satanist Bible. Is that right?
Is it on the internet?
The
text?
There are scripts from it on the COS website.
I would assume you'd have to probably purchase it.
Yeah.
Looking at, of course, the Church of Satan website, the wonderful thing, of course, is that the views of the church are quite progressive. And I'm gathering that as a whole, Satanists are a very progressive bunch, because they do separate themselves from the herd. And I suppose that's also separating themselves from heteropatriarchy, but that's just me. And especially because there's a lot about the inclusion of people from different sexualities, people from gender diverse backgrounds as well.
Yeah, well, that's it. At the end of the day, whatever, you know, team you choose to bat for, or it's entirely up to you. And the COS totally supports sexual freedom.
Looking at the satanic community that you know of, do you find that there is a higher quantity of people from, I suppose, the rainbow community themselves, who are also members of the Church of Satan?
I know of one gay member in Sydney. Mm. I don't know any up here. I myself am hetero.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm sure there are others out there.
Awesome. So it was just a possibility about the
maybe there should be more No, of course, I guess recruitment is against...
Recruitment's the wrong word.
Recruitment's the wrong word. No, I guess, yes, because obviously community is very important. And I think, you know, there might be lots of people out there who have never considered Satanism as, yeah, as a community that they could be part of.
I suppose looking at the intersectionality here, I think, is
intersectionality,
what...
yes.
Yeah, well, this is true. I mean, like... You know, I mean, I'm sure there's like plenty of people out there that yet to pick up the Satanic Bible and have a read of it and just say, well, you know, it's totally not what I thought it was. This has just been me all along.
So I guess since you read the Bible and, you know, have now started doing the rituals, is there anything else, like what other impacts does it have on your day-to-day life? Is it something that has sort of changed your outlook?
No, well, it totally fits in with my day-to-day life because it's a philosophy of rational self-interest. You know, I guess the whole essence of Satanism is basically, you know, what is important to you in your life. So, it totally fits in with my day-to-day living.
If Jim was not so against religion, this pretty much sounds like Jim's cup of tea.
our fourth co-host is currently, I think, visiting his children in Adelaide, but yes, he has very strong views against organised religion. So I think he'd be challenged to discover one that's so, I guess, accepting of individual agency and, yeah, plus doesn't have the bad bits.
Plus, he's got that awesome look he looks like a dark wizard. He really has got that look about him.
Oh, well, there you go. You never know.
You never know.
Pick up the Bible and never read of it.
He could be a late-blooming Satanist. Jim will kill me later.
I've got one final suggestion, though, to any hotel owners out there. Rather than, it sounds, just from what little I know about the Satanic Bible, it sounds a lot better than the real Bible. So I reckon that they should just replace all the ones in the side tables with a Satanic Bible. Wouldn't that be great?
Both. That'd be really funny.
That's a suggestion. We're going to push that on the show from now on, I reckon.
Know, though, put it this way. If you took the S word out of it, everyone would think it was great.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Warlock Marquee HK. What does that stand for, actually?
What does HK stand for?
HK, my nickname's Hardcore. So I just abbreviated it. Just like for writing purposes, you know, like HP Lovecraft and whatnot. So.
Ah, awesome. That's amazing. Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. Hope you have a good summer solstice as well.
Happy solstice. What's the right thing to say? Not happy solstice?
Solstice tidings.
Solstice tidings. Yep. We like that.
But thanks for having me, guys, and good luck with the show.
Thank you.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
You are on Is Nothing Sacred here on Joy 94.9. I have a wonderful guest in the studio, a gentleman who I have aspired to, who I have an idol to at home, who I lick said idol every morning and every noon and every evening. It is Kurt from Transpositions on Joy 94.9.
Hello, everyone. That's not at all creepy, Patrick.
We're spending Christmas together. It's going to get weird.
It's going to get weird.
It involves balls, beach and other, and it's just going to be fantastic. It's going to be great.
I think you said something about bringing the meat along.
I am bringing the meat along. Yeah, yeah.
You're not being the meat yourself? The meat in the sandwich?
Well, if I do say so myself, off goes the top button, off goes the second button.
It's actually happening.
Patrick is currently unbuttoning his
He's going to dip himself in honey. We're going to have honey-glazed Patrick for Christmas.
I have always wanted to be a meal. Oh, my gosh, we should interview a cannibal. No.
Oh, my gosh.
If you're a cannibal, please email us at joy.org.au.
Do that one over the phone.
We'll put them in the news reading room.
Don't sound too
Boys, that's not very berries. Inclusive.
No, it is not very inclusive. I'm sure there are remarkable... Anyway, moving right along, Kurt, it's lovely to see you this evening.
Lovely to see you.
Thank you. I know. It's great, isn't it?
Oh, my God.
So Kurt was originally part of this Nothing Sacred team until he went his own way and got his very own show here on Joy 94.9, which is
Transpositions.
So do we know what's going to be coming up on Transpositions next year?
Well, next year there's a lot. We're sort of changing with the show because we've heard a lot of everyone's sort of personal trans stories, people who are just regulars in the community, I suppose I could call them, people like myself and my trans friends. We've all told our story, and it all sort of seems to be, when you strip down the layers, they all seem to be kind of almost the same story, that trans story. So we really want to, you know, we sort of all know the politically correct trans story, struggling and came out, and they've always known they're transgender. So we really want to push it to meeting trans celebrities and talking about trans issues and even go global and see what trans communities in other countries are like.
That's I think awesome. The trans communities in other countries would be fantastic. And we did last week, we did mention a little bit about...
Russia, wasn't it?
Iran.
Oh,
it was
Iran.
Oh, Iran's interesting.
Yes, where it isn't...
Not what you think, maybe.
Yeah, it's not transgender in the fact that they are trans, but they have to transition due to the government's thing on homosexuality, that is an alternative trans story, not the same trans story, but yes, it is an unusual one. And especially also, I've forgotten completely what the correct term for it, the Indian third sex, Hijra, I think it is. If you know what it is, please email on air at joy.org.au. You've got Google. I don't.
Because there's, I mean, all sorts of different genders in different cultures, in Native American culture.
Southeast Asia.
Yeah, Southeast Asia. And, you know, even having like the brother boys and sister girls here in Australia.
I'm just curious. Is this also to find some really sexy trans ladies, my darling? Is this it? Is this we're gonna get on Laverne Cox and we're all just gonna drool over her? Because I want to drool over Laverne Cox so much. She is so hot. Oh my
God. She's lovely.
Have you seen her lips? Oh, gorgeous.
You want to lick those too, Patrick?
I do.
Haven't you already nominated Sam Hibbins as the man with the lips? Are you gonna say the woman with the lips? That's currently an untaken label.
And the American, African-American trans woman's lips. You know what? She's just gorgeous anyway. But are we going to get her? Or am I going to have to find her for you?
Yes, please. But we would like to find more people like her because she's sort of, we've all pinpointed her.
Yeah,
you know?
Everyone went to her.
She's great. But there's more people fabulous as her that we want to get on. And we want to find them.
I'm sure that... We'll make lists. We'll make it happen.
Please
making
make
a list
more
and
lists.
Checking it twice.
I'm going to find out who's naughty and
nice,
very, very nice.
And then we just pick the naughty ones. Is that the way it works when it's nothing sacred?
So, a big year coming up next year on Transposition. So make sure you're listening on Tuesday nights at 9 p.m.
Yes, the reason that we invited Kurt onto the show is because coming up next year, not Joy related, but still very exciting, there's going to be a big fundraising event for Kurt, which is going to be somewhere really awesome with awesome acts, and we'll be talking more about that.
I wonder who one of the acts is.
Patrick.
Patrick dragging it up, maybe.
Patrick in his punk band.
Yeah, so...
No, well, I always slightly... Anyway, no, you go, Kurt. Sorry, it's not about me. It's about you. Keep cocking.
Anyway, so we're on a quest for pecs for Kurt.
Spectacular, pectacular.
Yeah, so I am doing a fundraising event with the help of all the lovely queers in the community next year to raise some money for top surgery. So let us know your thoughts on that as well. If you think, a single person sort of can raise money for them and it's not for an organisation or a collective. Sort of an interesting topic because some people are really for it, but then some people hesitate.
I've seen a lot of people who do similar things like that, and it'd be wonderful to see, obviously, your responses in the community as well. And we look forward to continually checking in on the journey. We're all involved in the journey, so it's going to be fantastic.
Yep, awesome.
And you'll see great pictures. You'll see my tits. It's going to be out there.
You can come. Come to the event. Yes.
Please come along to the event and see my tits in person.
Do we know what suburb it's going to be in yet? Do we have a venue?
Not quite sure on the venue, but we'll let you know very soon.
Excellent. Well, we do have to wrap up, but thank you to our excellent guests tonight. Thank you very much to Sam Hibbins, the new member for Paran for the Greens and the new LGBT spokesperson for the Greens. Thank you very much to Warlock Marquis from the Church of Satan. We very much enjoyed speaking to him. And thanks very much, Kurt.
Thank you.
So, what is it? Solstice tidings.
Solstice tidings, everyone. You are on as nothing. You were on as nothing sacred here on Joy 94.9. See you next week after all the Christmas has filled your belly with glee and ham and such.
Glee and ham on
and
Joy.
Such
in on that combination.
Good night and so long.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.